absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Everyone, and welcome once again. I'm back, and this time I got it right. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and as always, on a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday, this is The Master Plan. And this call, and this show, and the number to call in, which is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again, 347-637-3220. Are all sponsored by FantasySportsCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So if you want to call in, which is sponsored by that. And the show is also sponsored by that. We got a great show in store for you. Upset, upset, upset. Oh my God, it's crazy! In college basketball, we're gonna talk about that a little bit. Gonna talk about a player that looks like one by one these teams are falling by the wayside and saying they're washing their hands of the player. They don't want anything to do with them. Let's talk about that. And of course, this is the 30th of March. I can't believe we're going into the fourth month of the year already, and when that happens, March turns to April, which turns to May, which turns to June, which turns to the summer in July, and then August and September, and then October is baseball season. That's what I'm talking about. Baseball season is, to tell you the truth, is here. I mean, we had one or two games already played by the Dodgers, but now, these other teams are going to get involved. We're going to be talking about that, talking about player rankings. I know this is pretty late now, but I told you I was going to talk about baseball, and I've been telling you that for the last few weeks. I'm getting to it right now. I really apologize because there's been a lot of other things on the plate, and I should have been talking about it earlier and trying to help you with your drafts. It is what it is. I can't turn back the clock now. So I got to move forward and go to that in that route. So first, let's get to this. And we're talking about the quest for the national championship in the NCAA men's basketball. Now, in all these brackets, the lower seeds have been laying some damage on the higher seeds, really. Really. There was two games played yesterday. That was Virginia and Michigan State for one. And that was Florida and Dayton. And like I said, in the beginning of that game, going to the maybe to down to near halftime of the first half, Dayton was hanging real tough with Florida. But like I told Vic, they should win comfortably. Now they only won by 10 points, but 10 points is 10 points, especially when you're going to the Elite Eight right now or the Final Four. So the better team got themselves together, Billy Donovan and his players got together and decided this is not going to happen. We're not going to go down to this 11th seed, this team like these other teams have, and took the game 62-52. But on the and then in the South bracket, but on the other side, in the West, Arizona, number one Arizona in the bracket versus number two Wisconsin in the bracket. Now, this is a very big surprise to me. I didn't think Wisconsin would be able to hang at a tough and not less win the game. I mean, that's, you know, I didn't watch the game. In fact, I woke up this morning and found out that Arizona lost in overtime. Didn't watch the game, and I was like, what? Arizona lost? And maybe my West Coast co-host, who happens to be on the line right now, calling in on the FantasySportsCasino.com hotline where winners win and players play. I'm talking about Mr. FSP. Talk to me. Did you actually watch Arizona and Wisconsin? And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, JKTM Money. And no, I didn't watch, but I did go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com where winners win and players play to place a wager, and I got scared. I got scared because Wisconsin, ever since, you know, all that criticism about their point guard came out, that kid has been, like, balling. And they're playing in the Big Ten, which already has the rebounding and all that other stuff going for them, you know. And those guys can shoot. So it's going to be tough, man. But you got Big Ten versus Big Ten. When Michigan beats Kentucky, it's going to be Big Ten versus Big Ten. So there'll be a Big Ten, in my opinion, representative in the championship. Now, does that mean that Florida can beat Michigan State, who I think will dispatch of Dayton? Quite possibly. Quite possibly. Michigan State might be there. I don't know.
Michigan State plays Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Michigan State dispatches of Connecticut, which is going to happen. I don't see any way of it not happening. But, you know, anything's possible.
Well, let me ask you something here. You just told me you got scared. Now, if you were so confident when you went to the website and you didn't press submit, that's part of gambling, my friend, to having the kahunas to take a chance.
Well, you know, I'm not a pro gambler. I don't have the itch. However,
stop, Victor.
I will say this.
Stop, Victor.
however, I will say this. That periodically I go to the site, FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play, just to see what the lines are. And when I look at the lines, I'm like, ah. There's a reason why it shifted like a point or half a point. People are putting money on here, putting money on there. You know, Wisconsin wasn't given a shot, so that gave them motivation. You know, every little thing to get them hyped up and ready to go. And it worked. It went to overtime, and they actually won. So my pause was pretty good. I paused for a reason, and I had to.
Well, what was the point spread between Arizona and Wisconsin? You say a point, point and a half? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it changed. I think it was like Arizona was favored like by 2.5.
By 5.
3.
By 5.5? And you didn't want to take that?
I thought it was 2.5.
Oh.
But if it was 5.5, and no, I didn't.
Oh. You know, you talk, and I gotta get on you for this because you talk the talk on air, but you don't back it up by actual deeds. So, I mean, how can anybody take what you say on the air and run with it if you don't even do it yourself?
Well, to be quite honest, I will say this. I have made my wagers. I have won. But, you know, it's not about me winning. It's about helping others win, helping them go.
Oh, here we
you
go.
Know, when you get
sounds like
to sign up,
sounds like a con job to me.
Oh, no. Well, we'll get to that later on with somebody in their trade. But when you talk to people and you convince them to go to the site,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have some of the best lines on the net. Then,
and what's that site? What's that site?
FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play.
Okay.
But when you go there and see all these lines, you're like, oh, wow, I can do quarter betting. I went and saw that the halftime score, they had Arizona up by, I think, by 3 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I should place that bet as opposed to the full game. And I was like, nah. But the options are there for those that really want to do it. And I want to. I have. I'm just not completely sold on my people doing it. That's the problem. My people such as you, Black, the Joker, just waiting for y'all to join in on the fun. You know? So I've done it. But I'm waiting on you guys to place the bets. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not a person to wager on basketball, any kind of basketball. I watch and I've said it before and I say it again. I have a team, and I watch that team very rarely, on occasion. And it's very rare that I actually sit down and watch a whole game, much less a quarter if it's pro ball, much less a half if it's college basketball. Because even though I like basketball, I don't like it enough to sit down and watch it. I love baseball, so I can sit down and watch a baseball game, and I love I love football, so I can watch football, and I have from the first game on a Sunday to the last game on a Sunday. So, and anything in between. So it's when football's on, I'm there. So basketball is a different story.
But it sounds like to me you don't have grapefruits. You know, that's where you don't have to
say
watch
again?
To win.
Say that again?
Like you don't have any, it sounds like you don't have any grapefruits because you don't need to watch in order to win. All you need to do is know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but see, I'm not
just saying.
The reason I'm saying this is because I'm not that interested in basketball. So regardless if it's you know, I gotta watch something. And Victor, you should know me by now. Come on, we've been going back and forth on the air and off the air, back and forth on a variety of things. And you should know that. And one of the things I've always said is, I don't pay attention to so-called experts. I gotta see it for myself. I have to see it for myself and gather my own opinion. And it's worked out for me. I can't watch basketball all the time. I can't watch basketball. For some reason I sit there and my attention span for watching basketball is not as great as if I was watching a baseball game or a football game, especially a football game. I used to be able to watch basketball all the time, and I just haven't been in like the last 5 to 10 years been able to watch a full basketball game It's not going to happen. I just can't. My wife watches basketball all the time. She can watch basketball all day. I can't. So I can watch football all day.
It's okay. I believe in the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all.
You know that song, that song there, that was first sung by George Benson and then copied by Whitney Houston. That's one of the songs, and that's one of the songs. Because my anniversary is coming up very shortly, that was one of the songs that was sung at my wedding with my present wife. That's my favorite song. One of my favorite songs. Let me put it that way. So.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to give you a sense of pride to make it easier. And Southern laughter, something. Remind how we used to be.
You are a funny guy. You are a funny guy. Anyway. I was really surprised. Now, on the other side, we talked about these two games and what I thought was going to happen. One of them lost, the other one won, and almost to the T of what I said was going to happen was that Dayton was going to give Florida fits early in the game, and they did, I think, up until halftime of the first game. And then Florida would pull away and win comfortably. Now, 10 points is not really that comfortable in the NCAA tournament, but it is. They won comfortably 62-52. Cream always rises to the top. I didn't think Dayton had a chance that would beat Florida, especially in the South, where that's like a home game for Florida. So in the South. So I didn't think that was going to happen. I mean, to me, this championship is almost handed to Florida because they got into the South bracket. Who they virtually were going up against really wasn't that challenging to them. The most challenge they had was against I don't know. It's toss up between Florida. I mean, between UCLA and Dayton. But if you look at what they ran up against, they didn't run up against anybody in this bracket that was really worth their salt. Because they all got eliminated early. And this is just like Florida's tournament to lose, in my opinion. Florida's tournament to lose because it seems like they breezed through the South and now they're in the Final Four and they're going up against either Michigan State and Connecticut. And if Connecticut, for some God-forsaken reason, if Kevin Ollie and company can get them to get over the hump against Michigan State, they're almost rest assured to go to the freaking championship. So, that leads me to the games that are taking place today, one at 2:20, the other one at 5:05, one in the East between Michigan State and Connecticut, and one in the Midwest between number 8, Kentucky, against Michigan, with the thought that, just like you had talked about earlier, that there could be a Big Ten matchup. Well, there is going to be a Big Ten matchup somewhere along the line here. If Michigan State and Michigan happen to move on, I think Michigan's got a tougher way to go against the hot Kentucky team versus a Connecticut team in Michigan State. What's your thoughts?
I like Michigan. I've said this on the air several times. I had them going to the championship in most of my brackets. The other team, in only one other bracket, I had Arizona, and that's not going to happen. But I believe that Michigan will dispose of Kentucky because, Kentucky found a way to gel during these past couple games, but that game versus Louisville showed me something. It showed me that they're not a good rebounding team. They're a good defensive team. They're a good perimeter shooting team. But they're not the guys that are going to be able to put it back and forth. Now, here's the thing, though. Michigan plays Kentucky-style basketball. They like to run. So Michigan needs to become a big team, a Big Ten team again, meaning slow the pace down. Make it a 40-50-point game, meaning by halftime the score is 25-25. Final score is like 52-50 or something like that. And they have the ability to do that. Thing is, can they be consistent on those boards? If they can be consistent on those boards and dominate, Kentucky loses this game. And Michigan advances on to play Wisconsin, which then is a Big Ten matchup to see who goes to the championship. Speaking on your Florida issue, I wouldn't say they had an easy road because it wasn't expected that certain teams are going to lose. But since certain teams did lose, it has become easier road, and that might be good for them or bad for them come the Final Four.
Because if I agree with that.
You know, if they've had it easy, you know, so to speak, getting all the way up there, you know, those guys are going to be like, cool, hand loop, just chill, you know, whatever. But that also means that they'll have energy. They will have energy to go against, like, Wisconsin and play hard and stuff like that if they got to do it. But there's no guarantee. No guarantee whatsoever. That's all I got.
Okay. What's your thoughts on Michigan State and Kentucky? I mean, excuse me, in Connecticut?
Again, I think Michigan State is going to go and just run right through them. They have no shot, in my opinion, Connecticut, that is. Connecticut is a group of overachievers, unfortunately. And because Iowa State lost their big man, they really weren't tested the way they should have been. So Michigan State to go directly to the Final Four.
Okay.
In my opinion.
So if Michigan State goes to the Final Four and Michigan goes to the Final Four, then just like you said, at least one of those three teams, Wisconsin, Michigan State, or Michigan, are going to be in the final versus
it'd either be Wisconsin or Michigan versus Florida or Michigan State. So
right. The
Big Ten is proving that they had the best conference this year, with three of the final four being from the Big Ten. That's these volumes.
Now, I'm not sure, and I'm asking this because I don't know. Didn't the Big Ten in the beginning of the season take a hit because their conference wasn't considered that strong? I'm just asking.
No. I think Black gave them a little flack, but there was some a time where at least one Big Ten team was ranked number one for a little while. And then Syracuse just, you know, took over for a long time. But, you know, at some point there was a Big Ten team ranked in the top three, ranked in the top four, ranked in the top five, you know, or ranked number one. So some people didn't like them, but it's a pretty damn good conference.
Okay. You know, and it's ironic that you're picking Michigan to go to the Final Four because you're a fellow host on a different show happens to be a strong Michigan man, and I'm surprised that you're agreeing that Michigan may go there, but but it is,
you know,
what it is.
I can't fault the school for its supporters. I can't. Why would I do that?
Hey, you've done. Never mind. Forget it. Anyway, let's move on because I really want to talk about this. This is starting to become
The trade.
No, not yet. I want to talk about this because this is becoming. I think it's becoming a pretty significant story right now. I really do believe that. And I'm talking about Deshaun Jackson got released earlier in the last few days, whatever it was, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it was, from the Philadelphia Eagles for reasons, internal reasons, let me put it that way, that supposedly late to meetings consistently, not being able to coexist happily with the coaching staff and Chip Kelly in particular, and not, you know, buying into the culture, basically being a cancer in the locker room. But after he got released, now they're saying that it was also because of his possible gang ties. And it came out in RotoWorld.com that seven teams were in contact with the camp of Deshaun Jackson. But recently, like yesterday, the Jets said they are not interested, which is a surprise because they have Michael Vick. You would think that you want to get his best receiver from the Eagles that released him to the Jets. They said that they aren't interested. And recently, late last night, the Chiefs have dropped out of the running for free agent Deshaun Jackson. Now, and I had said this off air to you, and I'll say it again here. That tells me that's an immediate red flag because Andy Reid is the one that brought Deshaun Jackson originally to the Eagles. And you would think, well, if any coach knows him better than Andy Reid, where is he? And Kansas City says, we're not interested. And they do need a wide receiver on the other side of Dwayne Bowe. Now, you had texted me earlier, and I knew that last night that the Redskins were interested in Deshaun Jackson, and he's supposed to be visiting the Redskins on Monday. I think he's a bad – and he has hell of a talent. He has a hell of a talent. Excuse me, hell of a talent. But I think he's a bad fit in a Redskins locker room. Just think of this. Now, you already have one, in my opinion, one jailhouse lawyer in there right now who they re-signed in D'Angelo Hall. Just think, you got D'Angelo Hall, a DB, on one side. You got Deshaun Jackson, a wide receiver, on the other side. And these two guys are very opinionated, and in my opinion, me type of guys in the same locker room with a new head coach and new coaching staff, which spells absolute trouble for me. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. If Jay Gruden is anything like John Gruden and Deshaun wants to be anything like Keyshawn, he'll be sent packing and benched if that happens. The thing about it is this, Jerry. If you look at the firepower that Jay Gruden would be afforded, you'd have Santana Moss, Pierre Garçon, Roberts, Deshaun Jackson, Alfred Morris, you know, Roy Helu, then RG3's going to run a little bit more. I mean, you need somebody that's going to catch the ball, and you need somebody that's going to go really deep all the time. Pierre Garçon is not the fastest guy. They normally put Alfred, Eldrick, deep. But he has a problem holding on to the ball. RG3 would get it to him, but he'll drop it. So what I'm saying is this. The Redskins normally carry about 5 to 6 receivers. If you're telling me that DeSean Jackson is going to become a Washington Redskin, okay, that's 4 of the 5, okay? And not to mention, they might even draft 1 or 2. So the old regime of receivers would no longer be there except for 2. And Santana is a staple with the Redskins. He came in very similar to what DeSean was considered, like a malcontent when he left your Jets. Lavernius Coles came in when he left your Jets and, you know, was considered that way. They all fell in line. Now, granted, you had Landon Fletcher in the locker room.
He's not there anymore.
I understand that. But you also didn't have a general manager doing a lot of that time as well. I think Mr. Allen is going to make it very clear that any of those off-the-field antics or on-the-field antics that he's been accused of will not be tolerated, or he will be terminated. I think that when you talk about D'Angelo Hall changed a little bit. He became more of a leader. He's going to have to be an even bigger leader now that that London's gone, because Rob Jackson and Riley, they're in the middle, got it, but they're not the leader. Brian Arakpo signed his salary cap, not salary cap, franchise tag contract, so he's there for 1 more year. The real leader is somebody that's really quiet, and it's Ryan Kerrigan. I think it'll be smart of the Redskins to go ahead and, if they're able to get DeSean, not at the price he wanted, but at a decent price, it'll bolster the offense 3 times over, because you still got to remember, they still got Jordan Reed at tight end. So the offense will be potent. They will have to draft heavily on the defense and you know, find a way to hold together. But I think honestly, in the D.C. area, DeSean Jackson would not be that hard to deal with. Excuse me. I don't think it'll be that hard to deal with. I really don't think so. He will be, if you put it in his contract, you know, if you have conduct clauses in his contract and he chooses to violate those, then you got grounds to get rid of him. That's where I'm telling you, the only place he won't get that is in Oakland. Everywhere else he's going to get a conduct clause, especially since Andy Reid says they're not interested in him. That's what I would do as a general manager of the of any team that might sign him.
Yeah, you know, I understand. I still say that a leopard doesn't change his spots. And I'm talking about not DeSean Jackson. I'm talking about D'Angelo Hall. I've seen where supposedly he's supposed to mellowed, that he's gotten out of control on the field. Or on the sidelines. So those two in the locker room can feed off of one another, and along with Santana Moss, and I forgot about him until you mentioned him. Man, I'm telling you, that is, you know, with a new coaching staff, if it was an old established coaching staff, I'd have to say that it's worth a shot. But with a new coaching staff, with a new coach that's trying to establish something in the locker room and within the team, to have and he's going to be a distraction because of the fact of this baggage that's following him now from the Eagles to wherever he's going to go. It's going to be a distraction. A lot of eyes are going to be on him. I'm talking about DeSean Jackson. And if he gets with the Redskins, a lot of eyes are going to be with the head coach and coaching staff to see how they treat him versus the other players in on the practice field and in the locker room. You're taking a hell of a chance, and history has proven when you get a diva-type wide receiver or a diva-type player, that player doesn't usually change his spots, a.k.a. T.O. That reputation comes with him, and for whatever reason, the Leopard didn't change his spots, and there's always something going on. There's always some type of drama going on, and eventually that leads to distractions, and then the result is that player getting released or cut. It's a hell of a thing to go through, especially with a new coaching staff. But, I mean, if Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder and Jay Gruden want to take that chance and possibly bring him in, and sign him after he visits on Monday. God bless him. I really hope it works out for the Raiders, Redskins organization and yourself. But I think it's a ticking time bomb. That's my opinion. It is what it
is.
Well, so.
You know, he's not just going to visit the Skins. He's also scheduled to visit the Raiders. But I think the added incentive to play the Eagles twice a year is going to keep him in D.C. And keep him on the right track. I honestly think so. And, we'll see what happens. Again, a conduct clause in the contract.
Well,
I think
that's with every player. I think every player has got some type of conduct clause in their contract. I think that's like almost a standard type of thing in these player contracts.
Not if the player isn't a high-risk player. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do certain things. Got it. You can't do certain things. But if a player is known for or suspected of certain types of activity, you give them an incentive-based contract that is conduct-related, meaning the regular conduct clause says you will not embarrass the team and the NFL, da-da-da-da-da. Well, we'll go with Pac-Man Jones, all right? Pac-Man Jones' contract with the Cowboys stated that he had to have security with him 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to, be in at a certain time. He couldn't be seen around this person, that person. Those were specifics that I'm talking about. And I think that if you put that in the contract of DeSean Jackson, you know, either he straightens it up or he loses a lot of money. He already lost $10 million.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, Vic, and that's what I'm saying. You know, how can these guys, I don't care what age they are, how can you absolutely not have enough sense to know that what the conduct that you have off the field, even if the conduct that you have on the field jeopardizes your livelihood, jeopardizes millions. I'm not talking about 100,000. I'm not talking about 500,000. I'm talking about millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. I can't believe that, regardless of what age you are, somebody with a rational mind would think that they can do anything they could possibly want to do and on and off the field and expect whoever's paying them to pay them that money anyway, because they have such a high talent level that whatever organization they're with will put up with it. That's not happening. I mean, it's obvious it's not happening. It hasn't been happening over the last few years that these teams obviously are saying, you know, bye-bye, we're not going to put up with it. I don't care how much money you make. I don't know how good. I don't care how good you are. We're not going to put up with it. And they show you the door. And these guys still constantly do it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I say this. In DeSean Jackson's case, nothing has been proven. It's all been speculative. And private investigative type stuff. Now, you know, a lot, and I said this yesterday on yesterday's show, the private investigators and all that, they have means of getting information that
sure.
the law and other folks don't, and they don't have to share it. They can just give it to the person that employed them to find it.
Yep.
And, you know, whether they substantiate it or not, the player is then hit with, well, you know what, we think this is going on, so we're going to release you. That's a lot of power.
Sure it is.
That's a lot of power, man.
And you have to think, now, he got released, and all these teams are doing their due diligence or have done their due diligence because he supposedly been on the trade block before he got released. And you got two teams that are needy of wide receivers that already said we don't want them. The Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs, and that Kansas City Chiefs was the coach that drafted them. Drafted them. Knows them better than anybody else because he spent so many years with them. And says, we don't want them. That, I mean, that sends up huge red flags to me. I mean, and you know these other teams have been doing their due diligence because, like I said, he was on the trade block before they actually released him. So these teams were investigating him before all this took place this week. And I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about this trade real quick. Give you my reasoning why I made the trade and
Confidence, man.
See, you know.
No, I was saying, you had confidence, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay, that's not what you were saying off air, but that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. Anyway, I completed a trade recently. Just when Clayton Kershaw got hurt, and it they said it was minor. It was an upper muscle back or spasm or whatever he had, and they said it was minor. That the that he would be pitching probably by his next turn. He would skip his opening day turn and pitch the next turn. Well, I put Clayton Kershaw, as soon as I heard that, I put Clayton Kershaw out there, and I made a request. I wanted a everyday player, and I didn't want a pitcher back. Basically, that's exactly what I said. I wanted a good player, and I didn't want Kershaw back. So I got an offer. Well, I made an offer to Mr. FSP first, okay? We talked on the phone, made an offer. We couldn't come to an agreement, and I said, well, I'm going to go out there. And not too long after we had talked, I think it was the same night, I got an offer from the champion of last year, Five Tools. He made an offer to me. Which I didn't like, and I also talked to about it. And I countered. And my counter was giving him Matt Wieters, which is a catcher out of Baltimore, Gene Segura, which is a shortstop, all-star shortstop from Milwaukee, Clayton Kershaw, and also Dominic Brown, which is an up-and-coming young player from Philadelphia, a left fielder. In return, I wanted Ryan Braun. Who's a left fielder from Milwaukee. Everybody knows who Ryan Braun is. I wanted Joe Mauer, who he had a dual position. He's mainly a catcher, but he also plays first base from the Minnesota Twins. And I wanted Jason Grilley because I wanted a big time closer from, and Grilley is a very good closer from Pittsburgh. Put it out there. Didn't think I was going to get it because I think I was asking for three very good players, let me put it that way, versus Clayton Kershaw, who was hurt, and an all-star shortstop, and two fringe players, in my opinion. They could go either way. Dominic Brown probably has more upside versus Matt Wieters. Anyway, he accepted it. Come to find out, I think it was yesterday, that Clayton Kershaw is going on a 15-day DL list and got some disparaging remarks from Mr. FSP saying that because I had offered him Kershaw, I said you were going to do that, and a friend wouldn't do that if to another friend to pass off a hurt player. Well, I'm going to say this on air, and I said it to Vic off air. Because I knew he wanted Kershaw in the draft, I offered him Kershaw first before anybody else, hoping he wouldn't take him. For the simple reason is this. I've had a bad experience with a pitcher last year that had trouble with back spasms or upper back issues, meaning Johnny Cueto. And I held on to him, hoping he would come back, and every time he came back, he got hurt. He went on a DL list. He came back, he got hurt. It was off and on. He was never consistently on my roster to use. Even I know it's Clayton Kershaw, but red flags went up in my head, and I'm saying I'm getting rid of him now and hope to get somebody better. And I'll deal with my pitching staff, even though it weakened my pitching staff. I'll deal with my pitching staff. Now, I hope Vic won't take it, because then I know he's going to get all over me if Clayton Kershaw, for some odd godforsaken reason, and he went on a 15-day DL. So I know he would have actually been all over me saying, you knew something, you set me up, you did blah, blah, blah. So I was hoping he didn't take it. He didn't take it. This other person took it. And now they have to deal with Clayton Kershaw, and hopefully he gets healthy, because I don't want to wish bad on anybody, but hopefully he gets healthy. But I didn't want to deal with that headache, plain and simple. I didn't want to see, with a pitcher, it sends red flags up to me, especially a power pitcher that depends on throwing a lot of heat and fastballs and strikeouts, and Clayton Kershaw does that. And the fact is he's a richest pitcher in all baseball, and all that pressure. I say, I want to get rid of him, plain and simple. It may sound crazy. I have a feeling, and usually when I go with my gut, it's usually a good thing. So I wanted to feel comfortable, so I got rid of him. Now, it's not somebody else's headache. I apologize for it, but he knew what he was getting into when he accepted, when he pushed the accept button. That's all I can say. It wasn't like he accepted it and then Clayton Kershaw got hurt. He knew Clayton Kershaw was hurt before he accepted the trade, and he took the shot. Now, Clayton Kershaw could go on for the rest of the year and be super, or he could have issues just like Johnny Cueto had last year. It can go either way. I didn't want to take that chance. I gave it to somebody else as a headache. Your thoughts, Mr. FSP? Did I lay it out there correctly?
Well, you laid it out there in the sense that you're not a bad guy or that Geely, just like, well, you probably didn't see the Muppets movie. But anyway, I'll say this. You, my friend, are a very confident guy. A very confident guy. To put that trade out there and, you know, offer it to me first in hopes that I would not accept it. That's very confident that I would not accept it. So I thank you for having the confidence in me. Unfortunately, I don't believe you. Only because
you know how
bad I wanted Kershaw.
I know that. But you weren't willing to give up what I thought you were going to give, what I wanted, and I wasn't going to. We couldn't come to terms. Let me put it that way. Which I was glad about, because I really didn't want to give you Kershaw.
All right. I mean, it's okay. You are confident that I wouldn't take it, which is fine. But I will say this: the deal that you did make, it wasn't a bad deal. before Kershaw went on the DL. So I can't really talk too bad about it. However, I do think that you made out like a bandit based upon what is there. You are able to bolster your already wonderful bats. You got a decent relief pitcher. The only problem is you still lack quality pitching. You have two okay pitchers, and that's not going to keep you for the entire year. I think that you have an opportunity to do a lot more if you trade off some of your bats. But we'll see what happens. Again, good deal. Of course, seeing as though you are a confident guy, confidence runs really well for you. I'm glad confidence is a good thing for you.
I can see it's very hard to convince you of what I'm talking about, but that's okay. I had honorable intentions when I started and started the trade process. It wasn't like he didn't know or anybody didn't know that Kershaw was hurt. It wasn't like they didn't know he was hurt. Plain and simple. I got to keep going back to that. It wasn't like he didn't know he was hurt. I didn't keep anything.
What?
It was all above board.
Well, no one said that no one knew that he wasn't hurt. It's just I was just saying that how confident you were that a trade would not take place between you and I, and how confident you were that, because there was a secondary deal. If your offer to fly twos didn't go through, then we had a place.
Yes,
so,
I understand. You know, say, and you have to look at what I did. I offered enough out there that there was no way, in my opinion, he could let that slide, because I gave him a pretty sweet deal. I gave him Kershaw, I gave him Segura, and believe it or not, and I don't know if you know it or not, Dominic Brown's a little buzz about Dominic Brown. So I gave him three good players, two good players, and one player that it has a very nice upside. And a replacement for his catcher. So I gave him 3 for 4, and that's usually, especially the players I put in place for him to pick up, usually very enticing for someone not to accept. And he accepted it, which I wasn't surprised, because I thought it was a pretty good deal for him also. In fact, I think he made out better than I on a trade, but. Everybody is discounting Ryan Braun. I don't know why, but they discounting him because of he got suspended last year, and they think he's going to have a huge drop off from PEDs. And I don't think that's going to happen. For one, I'm loving Ryan Braun in the 2014 rankings, according to Yahoo. He's basically a number 7 pick. So, and I got the number 7 pick. I got the number 4 pick, which is Andrew McCutchen. And I got the number 16 pick from you, which is Joey Votto. And I'm happy. I'm happy.
I bet you are.
So, and I think, let me put it this way, and this was my thinking, and I usually don't do this, but I tried a different philosophy this year, and you can see it because I got my bats are pretty much stronger than my pitching. I took a lot of chances with my pitching And I got a couple young pitchers in there, Alex Wood. I got Tyson Ross I just picked up, and I also have Chris Archer. These are young pitchers that are on the rise, in my opinion, along with some veterans that I think are going out to prove something, meaning Matt Garza. Hiroki Kuroda, I think, is going to be solid, maybe even better than CC Sabathia. I don't know about how well he's going to be with Tanaka there, but I think he's going to be a solid pitcher. So I took some chances with my pitching, and I think my pitching is going to surprise a few people. So I speculated a lot on my pitching and concentrated this year on my bat. Rather than have a balanced attack, I tried something different. So we'll see what happens. I wanted to get to the I got 4 minutes, and obviously fantasy baseball is – I keep on saying I'm going to talk about it, and what happens, I get wrapped up in something else. All right. Let's talk about it. It's right around the corner. In fact, I think it's starting today, if I'm not mistaken.
Tonight.
Tonight, yes. And I'm excited because that's one of the reasons why I watch baseball, because I love to look at my players. And Mike Trout is the number one. Without a doubt, I was wrong. How wrong could I possibly be last year that I thought he was going to not fall off, but I thought he wasn't going to be as good as he was? Well, he got a $144 million extension. What's that saying to you? And to me, he's the number one player. He's a five-tool player, and he's young as hell, and he's only going to get better as long as he doesn't get hurt. Miguel Cabrera, quite naturally, two-time MVP, is number two. Yahoo has Paul Goldschmidt, who I had a chance to take and did not take, number three. I'm not really sold on Paul Goldschmidt. Maybe I could be wrong this year, but it is what it is. I did pick up Andrew McCutchen and Clayton Kershaw, who are 4 and 5 respectively.
Confidently.
But I have an issue with Cargo being six. I know he's playing in Colorado, which is very beneficial to a power hitter, but I think Ryan Braun's going to have a better year than Cargo, in my opinion. I really do. I really do, because I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's out to prove a point that he didn't need PEDs, and he's going to be playing lights out. Chris Davis, you know, 1 year, he breaks out in 1 year. You got to prove it to me again that you can do it. They got him rated 8. And I don't agree with that. I think Bryce Harper is going to have a better year than Chris Davis, who's rated number 9, meaning Bryce Harper. The surprise for me is this. Surprise for me is this, and we got about 90 seconds left in the show, so we're going to be going over a little on overtime. I think I'm going to go to the top 25, and that's about it. I got Robinson Cano at number 10. Now, he's not in Yankee Stadium. He's in Seattle. Those home runs that have been in Yankee Stadium, in my opinion, are not going to be the same home runs that they are in Seattle. I think they're going to be doubles. So I understand he's got a big contract, but big contract doesn't mean big production. Let me put it that way. Before I go any further with the second half of this down to 20, Victor, Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, Paul Goldschmidt, Andrew McCutchen, Clayton Kershaw, Carlos Gonzalez, Ryan Braun, Chris Davis, Bryce Harper, and the top 10 off Robinson Cano. What's your thoughts on those top 10?
I like the top 10. I think that Trout is and continues to be a very instinctive and positive player. I told you this before. I told you last year. I told you this year. You know, you can't go wrong when you get the trout. Just make sure you get the scales off and season it up real good. I don't know why you're not on my guy, Bryce Harper. Just like the year before, not this past year, but the year before, the Nationals were very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be underrated again this year, and they're going to do well this year. So what happens is that he will be the one that makes sure that the Nationals keeps that string going. So I'm just telling you right now, don't sleep on them. Everyone else, I think they're in the right place. I really think they're in the right place.
Let's go to the next set of 10 here. Tied at number 10, slash 11, whatever you want to call them, is Hanley Ramirez, which I think should be higher up on there because he's comfortable where he's at. He was an issue when he was with Florida, but he is Miami, I should say. Very comfortable and happy where he's at. His attitude has changed, and I'm surprised he's not higher than 10/11 here because Hanley Ramirez that does it all, steals bases, plays good defense, and hits for power. So I would have Hanley Ramirez within the top 10 and probably, believe it or not, I would probably have him, I would swap him and Cargo, put Cargo at number 10/11 and Hanley up there right behind Kershaw at number 6 because I think he's going to have a big influence as long as he stays healthy. And that's the key. As long as he stays healthy, you can see what kind of damage he was doing last year when he was healthy. So I do like Hanley Ramirez a lot. Number 12 would be Adrian Beltre. Number 13 is Adam Jones. Number 14 is Prince Fielder. Edwin Encarnacion fills up the 15th slot. My boy Joey Votto, who a lot of so-called experts are calling him to have a bust type of year. I don't agree with that, but his spring hasn't been too good this year. He's got like 17 strikeouts. He's only hitting like 240, 250, somewhere around there, which is not good. And then often injured Troy Tulowitzki takes up the 17th slot. Jacoby Ellsbury takes up 18. Your boy Hugh Darvish is 19. And which I'm surprised here is the number 20 slot is Carlos Gomez, who is very streaky player. Your thoughts on those 10?
Well, the key for Hanley Ramirez is can he stay healthy? So I do not have him in the top 10, top 20, top 25, even though he is that type of talent. He is that type of talent. However, based upon his health concerns, you know, I can't, you know, agree with you on that. Just if you look at what you have, right? I like you, Darvish, to move up higher in your rankings, as well as wherever you got the rankings from. There's just a bunch of folks that are going to struggle this year. I really think folks are going to struggle. And they're ranked higher than what they should be. I disagree with you that Bryce Harper is going to be one of those guys that struggles.
No, I never said he'd be going to struggle. I think he's a hell of a talent. I like Bryce Harper. You kidding me? I like Bryce Harper a lot. But a lot of people are speculating that he's not going to. They're speculating that he may be a bust. I've seen in few sites that they speculate he's going to be a bust this year, which is boggles my mind.
Okay. Well, that's the only concern I have there. But I like the top 20 so far. I just think there are a few that could be better. That's all.
Well, I'm going to the next five, and then we're going to close this show out. Number 21 is David Wright, which I think should be a little higher than 21. Adam Wainwright is 22. Your boy Steven Strasburg is 23. Evan Longoria is 24. And rounding out the top 25 overall is Jason Kipnis from Cleveland. Your thoughts on those guys and if they should be up or down?
Jason Kipnis has done pretty well during the spring. He's done pretty doggone well. So I think that might be a justifiable top 25 ranking on him. Again, I don't see too much of a difference in that five. I think that you might want to put more pitchers in there. I think Strauss actually be in the top 20. Yes, he's had some arm issues because he's another fastball guy.
What about Phil Hernandez?
Phil, of course. I mean, I like him where he is. I don't think he's a top 20 talent based upon, you know, fantasy rules. You know, you got to have your bats and stuff in there. I think he's in the top 25. I think he might be 20, 21. But I think Strauss belongs in the top 20 only because I like the pitching staff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're probably thinking, why are you saying the pitching staff when it's only on his performance? Well, think about it this way. If you got Gio, who's going to do well, if you got Pfister, who's doing well, and you got
Pfister's going on DL, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, prior to this, he wasn't. Prior to our conversation, I don't think he was on there last week. He might have been put on there. I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is, when you have that staff and a bullpen that's going to, you know, do well, he's not going to have to pitch more than 6-7 innings. And that's good, because then you go straight to the setup man, to the closer. And it preserves his arm. Plus, the offense is not a problem for the Nationals. Definitely not a problem. So I would rank him a little higher. Felix, Seattle is supposed to do a lot better this year. They're supposed to. Will they? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite a possibility that they will. So we'll see what happens.
Doug Pfister lands on a disabled list with a strain in his right lat. That sends up – see, that's exactly – this guy's a power pitcher, and he has a problem with his right lat muscle. I have issues when you start having – he's got a strain in his right lat. When things like that start happening – do they ever totally get over it, or does it take an off season to get over it? Because the fact is, he's going to get on a 15-day DL list, which is 2 weeks. And is he going to be right then? Is he going to come back, or is he feeling better? But his strain, he doesn't have a bit bigger strain, or is he going to be able when he comes back pitch, and then all of a sudden he's still got an issue with his right lat, and he goes back on the DL list. That's exactly what I'm talking about when I was talking earlier about the trade. When they start having troubles, muscle troubles like that, does it truly go away for the rest of the season, or do they have to deal with it throughout the season, and that affects their effectiveness? So it is what it is. All right. Well, we come to the end of the show. Huh? I'm sorry.
I said that is true. It is what it is.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully the Nationals, and you're watching the Nationals, it benefits them to put them on a DL, and he comes back and he's at full strength, just like it benefits Five Tools in the trade where we have if Clayton Kershaw comes back from the DL, and he's at full strength, and he doesn't have any issues throughout the season. I'm only hoping the best.
How much confidence do you have in that, my man?
I don't have any confidence. I'm telling you right now, once a pitcher starts having issues like that, I don't have faith in it, because at any time that can flare up and he goes back on the DL. I experienced it, like I said, last year, and I don't want to experience it again. So I'm wishing and hoping for the best, but it is what's going to be. And it could be an ongoing thing for the rest of the season until he finally gets some much-needed rest completely. I mean, he can go on a 30-day disabled list. I think they got a 60-day disabled list too. So depending on what they want, they put him on a 15-day DL and see what happens. Anyway.
All right, conscience man.
Yes. Anyway. I want to thank Mr. FSP for joining me today.
Quite welcome.
Both, and tune in next week. Be the first week of actual team baseball. I'll be talking to you people about where I'm at because of the two trades that I've conducted before this even really started. See if it's benefited me, and I'm going to give you a weekly report on my status and what I think I should do, what do you think you should do from week to week to improve your lineups.
Well, Jerry, I want you to give a week-to-week breakdown of you're losing every week in the categories and the player you're facing.
I'll be doing that.
We don't want to be pressing mute and trying to tell them and then be like, oh, I'm sorry. I went over that earlier. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No,
we don't want that to happen.
No. I'm keyed on. That's not going to happen again. I'll be going over my lineup and the status of my lineup and things that were going on my fantasy league week to week. It's 22, 23 weeks, whatever it is, until we get to the playoffs. It's a long season. It's a very long season when you play fantasy baseball. Very tedious. I almost did not play fantasy baseball this year for the simple reason that toward the end of the year it takes away a little bit, in my opinion, from fantasy football. But because Mr. FSP is a friend, very good friend of mine, I didn't want to disappoint him, so I decided to join his fantasy baseball league again. So,
I know you want to avenge your terrible showing last year and prove that when you won the league your first year, that it wasn't a fluke like everybody says it is.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's no fluke when you dominate. It's no fluke when you, the first year, you dominated. And that's exactly what I did. I dominated the first year. I got overconfident, thought I could do what I wanted to do the second year. And a lot of guys were out for me, big time out for me last year.
Oh, yeah.
I know that. They were out for me big time last year. So I was humbled last year. I just missed the playoffs. But I knew I had a shot, but it was a slim shot. So I changed my philosophy. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm a little more humble. Not as humble as a lot of other guys on my league would want me to be. But I'm a little bit more humble. But you're never going to get me totally humble. You know that, Victor. That's not happening.
Well,
that's not happening. Because that's part of the fun of fantasy baseball, or fantasy in itself. It's talking a lot of smack and having fun with it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Taylor. You know, when you're in football, you're never humble, always talking. I think you need to change that around. Always humble and never talking when it comes to baseball. I really think so.
I'm going to be back to my old ways. You'll be seeing posts. I see Hakuna Tata hadn't responded to me yet. So
I'll send him a text.
I sent that email out to everyone. It wasn't just to him. It was out to everyone. You got it. So
yep.
So anyway, I want to thank you for joining me. Tune in next week. Like I said, I'll be going over my fantasy league. Also, tune in over the next few days, Thursday, 8 p.m., FSP Crew Show. I host that along with Black and Jeff, 8 o'clock p.m. on Thursday. 7 p.m., Mac and I will be back live on Friday with the No Chaser Show on FSP, which is on Saturday. It's the FSP show, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Vic will be the host. We just flipped positions here. He's the host. I'll be the co-host. And quite naturally, like I said, back here at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, be the master plan where I host that. With that being said, Victor, you have anything that you want to say before we get out of here?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Fantasy Sports and Politics proudly presents The Master Plan and JTATM Money. You've been listening to The Master Plan.